Yeah, I really got to have this up here for you to hear me, right? I really believe over the years that that's really the Rock's theme song. You know, we've been singing that that proclamation for many, many years, and I love it. Just the simple truth that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Well, we're in a new series started last week that I'm calling the Gifts of God, and I thought, you know, all that we've been going through this year, and all the things that you have been dealing with in your life over the last, maybe over this year and even the last several weeks, that maybe we needed to kind of laugh a little bit. So I kind of begin to think, you know, how can I share a story that kind of ties to what we're talking about? And I couldn't come up with anything. So, but I did. I did have a person share with me last week that, you know, she needed to laugh a little bit, and she was ready for maybe one of my, not mine, but one of my old Boudreaux jokes. You know, I love Boudreaux. I love the South Louisiana Boudreaux humor that's there. And so watching the football game with LSU playing, saw on the back of one of the players. His name was Boudreaux. Come on now. I just thought that was a made-up name. I didn't know people actually had that name, and just learned how to spell that name a few years ago when I started sharing the jokes of that. So I thought, okay, you know, I'll share maybe one of my, you know, maybe a Boudreaux joke, maybe one you hadn't ever heard, I don't know. Boudreaux, he lived in South Louisiana. He lived in a little town called Mamou, Mamou. And so Boudreaux was there in town one day, and this person out of town came into town and, you know, walked up to Boudreaux and said, hey, we're from out of town, and we're trying to get to Ville Platte. Can you tell us the fastest way to Ville Platte? Boudreaux kind of looked at him a little bit, and he said, you walking or driving? And the guy said, well, we're driving. And Boudreaux looked at him and said, well, that's the fastest way. Come on now. Hey. As long as I can get my wife to laugh, I am okay. Y'all don't have to laugh. Listen, we are living in days that are difficult to laugh in, especially at Monty's jokes, right? But even just in anything, it's just hard sometimes with what we've come through or what maybe you're living through personally. It's just tough to laugh, and I just think it's such a time that we need laughter, and need, you know, joy and peace in our lives and our relationships. And as I prepared this series, The Gifts of God, it's been difficult for me. It's been very difficult. I hadn't really even felt like I wanted to talk about the gifts of God, you know, the gifts of hope and peace and joy and love. And how do you talk about those things in times that, like we live in, and the stuff that we go through as a people and in this broken place that we call our world? And as I've prayed about it, and as I've thought about it, and, you know, I begin to realize I have to. You know, it's a must. It's what we need to be talking about. Because, you see, it's only through the gifts of God that He brings to us through the birth of Jesus Christ at Christmas. It's the only way. Those gifts are the only thing that will break through the brokenness of our world, the darkness that maybe we are going through, the hurt, the pain, the chaos that swirls around us. It's only through, you know, the gift of hope that He gives us through the birth of Jesus, that where we can be encouraged to never give up because of our hope that we have in Christ. It's only through the gift of peace that comes through Jesus that passes all understanding, that you can't even understand when you're in those deep hurting places and you just sense His arms wrapped around you. It's only through Jesus that you can experience that peace that passes all understanding. It's only through the gifts of God that you can experience this unspeakable joy, that you can even have a song on your lips and in your heart in the toughest of times. It's only through the gifts of God that you can experience His love, His unconditional love. His love that kind of moves in on you and whispers into the depths of your heart, I'm with you. I am Emmanuel. I love you. I love you. And so as we walk through these gifts, I pray that you hear God speak to your heart. And again, it's so difficult because, you know, we can sing the songs of Christmas, but sometimes we never really experience what we're actually singing. We can get Christmas cards in the mail with just kind of cute and nice words on those cards, written on those cards, and never really experience what is written on them. I think sometimes have this ideal that Christmas is this lovely, calm, bright, ho ho ho, Merry Christmas. And then most of us find ourselves talking about the chaos, the anxiety, the financial struggle, you know, or the lack thereof, or, you know, our health issues, the family members that you miss at Christmas time that have gone on to be with the Lord. And the list goes on and on and on. And so for a lot of people, it's not a season that's very merry and bright, and it's certainly not peaceful. Very few people, if you walked up to them and said, "How are you doing today?" would they say, "Oh, I'm just filled with so much peace. You know, I'm just in this perpetual place of peace." We don't share that kind of, you know, we don't share those words. But the Bible describes this peace as a commodity that is available to every believer, to every Christian. It's available to all of us to experience, but for some reason, we don't. It's like there's this disconnect from the gifts of God that He wants to bring us through the birth of Jesus Christ and actually beginning to live out the peace in our lives and in our relationship. There's a disconnect. I mean, we try to help that. I don't know really where that disconnect is, but we try to help it by doing everything we can during this time of the year, right? And maybe not as much this year because of COVID, but we usually have all kind of parties that we go to at this time of the year, right? You write a Christmas card and a picture, and you give it to every person that you've ever even known their first name in. You know, you just mail those out, and so many of you do that, and they're so beautiful. Thank you for doing that, right? We decorate inside our houses, outside our houses. Some of you even bake. How many of you bake, and this is the only time of the year that you bake stuff? Yeah. You may not have been seeing posts about cookies that people are burning and trying to. We do all that stuff, right? We throw all that into this time of season. No wonder there's stress, as Danny and the kids were talking about, right? No wonder we have anxiety during this time of the year. And I sometimes ask, at Christmas time especially, God, where is the peace? Where is the peace? And if Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, sometimes I wonder, did He fail? You know, I look at people and, you know, even myself, believers, followers of Christ, right? We're supposed to have this peace, but we sometimes look like we're stressed out all the time. No peace, just anxiety and tension. I even see Christian marriages, right, that he knows Jesus and she knows Jesus, and so there should be peace. But what happens? You know what happens? I look at all the things that are going on in our world today, and I say, God, where is the peace? Where is the peace in that? As I look at relational tension and people that just can't get along, right? You pull into a, you know, mall parking lot or grocery store parking lot, and you think you see that parking place, and you try to beat the other person to that place, and I'm telling you, if you don't get there and you try to act like you're going to take it, people can get angry. That's my place. And so I say, if Jesus is the Prince of Peace, did he fail? And I don't want to sound like a heretic, right? Or anything like that, but sometimes it's a little bit difficult for me to reconcile. If he is the Prince of Peace, well, Jesus, where is the peace? This is one of my favorite, and I've shared this with you before, but this is one of my favorite children's book on peace, 5 Minutes of Peace. It's really very theological. It's just simply about this mother elephant that has three baby elephants, and she's looking for some peace, and so she kind of sneaks away to upstairs to the bathroom and fills her tub up with water and gets her, you know, little glass of tea, cup of tea, and sits down in the bathtub, and it's like, oh, and then all of a sudden, one by one, all three of her kids, you know, come up the stairs, come into the bathroom, and before you all know it, there, you know, at the end of the book, all three of them are in the bathtub with her, right, and no peace, right, no peace. And I love it because it contains such a wonderful theological truth. And it's this right here. It isn't how we orchestrate our circumstances that will bring us peace. But really, it's what happens on the inside of us that will make all the difference. How we begin to understand and define peace. Because storms are going to continue to rage around us in one way or another. But I think we as the people of Jesus, we need to begin to understand and learn how to find the eye of the storm. Somehow I think we get confused about how we find peace. I think we find ourselves living with some myths about peace. And, you know, see if you fall into any of these. There's the if I had enough money in the bank myth. Or the good doctor's report myth. There's the, you know, if I could just find the right relationship myth, that would bring peace. Or if I could just take a long enough vacation, right? Or if I had the perfect job or the perfect career. If I could be some other place rather than here, myth. You know, that myth of escape. We live in the myth that if somehow everything around us would be different, could be the way that we think we really want, then we would have peace. In other words, if the circumstances were peaceful, then we would have peace. And that's not what Jesus promised at all. But he did promise that we could have peace in the midst of all the circumstances that seem to defy peace. But it will only come to us with God. Only with God is it possible for you and I to live in the eye of the storm. Peace is something that we so desperately want. Whether you know it or admit it or not, you know, I know we do, right? I know I do. I know that we both want it physically. We want peace physically, right? That's why so many people medicate themselves. We want to feel at peace with our bodies. We want peace relationally. We want to be in harmony with one another, and you know, in our significant relationships. We don't want there to be tension. I'll be honest with you, when there's tension in my life, when there's a conflict going on in my life, it makes me feel so awkward. I get this feeling in my stomach, you know. I want to be at peace with other people. And of course, we want peace for our future. You know, planning a peaceful future. And some of you are working so hard for, you know, for your retirement. You want to retire in peace because once you retire, well, then there'd be no more worries, right? No more problems anymore. You just kind of kick back on your lounge chair and drink your prune juice. Become a burden to your children, right? So this morning I want to talk to you about the Prince of Peace. Luke chapter 2. there at the beginning of the Christmas story, verse 13 says, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appear with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest.'" And here's what we think it says, you know, because Charlie Brown said it this way, right? "Peace on earth, goodwill toward men." But that's not what it says. It says, "On earth, peace to those whom his favor rests." The only place in the Bible, really, that it says that, or it has the phrase, "peace on earth," is in Matthew 10. It's where Jesus actually says, "I did not come to bring peace on earth. I came to bring a sword." And that's kind of funny to me, right? And I think the reason is that the goal of Jesus was not to bring peace on earth. His goal was, while earth is not peaceful, and we all understand that, while earth is not peaceful, you can still have it. You see, peace is a gift that Jesus worked pretty hard in order to wrap it up and deliver it to you and I. It's his gift to us. And it's my goal for me, and my goal for you is for us to experience, if possible, and I believe that it is, for us to experience more peace this Christmas 2020 than ever before. To be able to say, in fact, that that was the best gift I received. His peace was the best gift I received this year. Jesus says in John 14:27, he says, "I am leaving you with a gift." And this gift is peace of mind and peace of heart. And he says, "The peace I give isn't fragile like the peace that the world wants to give you." You know, the world's peace is fragile. It's not real. It's, you know, it's not authentic. He says, "My peace that I want to give you will bring peace to your mind and heart." And he says, "So don't be troubled. Don't be afraid." And so my prayer is for each one of you is that you will experience that peace. We learned a few weeks ago in our the Jesus Life series that Jesus calls us to be peacemakers, right? And that's different, and we talked about this, that's different than peacekeeping, right? Peacekeeping just looks for ways to resolve the conflict. But peacemaking, we discovered, and if you didn't hear it, you can go back and listen to it, the Jesus Life Peacemakers. Peacemaking is not necessarily trying to resolve it. It's reconciling it. And there's a difference. We learned that reconcile means you bring that person that you're in conflict with, you bring that person's balance to zero. And that's tough. But Jesus says, "Hey, you can be a peacemaker to everyone that has a balance in your life." And he says, "I'll give you the strength to reconcile that relationship by bringing it to zero." And we learned if we do that, if we become a peacemaker, that it's not them that actually gets the benefit. It's you, I do, right? I begin to experience and receive the benefit of that. You get to experience peace. And so again today, I want to talk about the Prince of Peace, Jesus. And I want us to look at this prophecy by the prophet Isaiah. He prophesied about the birth of Jesus Christ over 700 years ago, before the birth actually happened. Not 700 years ago, but before the birth actually happened. He prophesied the birth of Jesus, and we just sang about it. But it's amazing to me, as I thought about that, there are over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus that are fulfilled in Jesus, right? From his birth, through his life, and into his death. It's an amazing detail. And it just always blows me away when I'm reminded of that every prophecy was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. I went to University of Florida, and I got a minor in business, and I had to take this class called quantitative analysis. Anybody had to take that class? Whoa. It was terrible. I mean, it was so hard. I'm sure I just snuck out of there, you know, barely with passing grade because it was so difficult. And it was kind of a financial class that had this approach that kind of emphasizes mathematical analysis and statistics and formulas to help you to determine the value of an asset or the probability of something actually happening. And so as these experts begin to look at these prophecies, they begin to ask, you know, what is the probability of these prophecies being fulfilled hundreds of years later? And so this professor, Dr. Stoner, did this analysis, and he discovered that if, you know, for just eight of them to be fulfilled, eight of the prophecies, that it would be 10 to the 17th power, that would be able to happen in one man's life. 10 to the 17th power. That's a 1 with 17 zeros behind it. Anybody know what that number is? Yeah. That's 100,000 trillion. I mean, that's a lot, right? 100,000. I mean, a trillion is, and the only reason I know this is because I got it wrote down right here. A trillion is 1,000 billion. So that's 100,000 billion. That's a lot. I mean, as a kid, you would say, that's a zillion. Right? I mean, that'd be about a zillion, Monty. And so to help us comprehend this staggering figure, one with, you know, 17 zeros behind it, Stoner gave this kind of illustration. He said, you know, it'd be like taking 10 to the 17th power, you know, 100,000 trillion silver dollars and filling up the state of Texas 2 feet deep. And marking one of those silver dollars with an X and kind of throwing it in there and then shaking up the state of Texas, you know, and then asking someone, one man, to come in and to pull a silver dollar out of it. The probability that he would pull that X out is the probability that eight of the prophecies could be fulfilled in one human being's life. I think 48 prophecies, it goes 10th to the 157th power. You know, one with 157 zeros. And it always just blows me away because there weren't just eight or 48, but all 300 were fulfilled in Jesus. And so I get excited about that. And I share that I've shared it with you before, and I share it with the student. I mean, I get excited about that. You can't tell me that Jesus is not the real King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You can't tell me that. I mean, I know that that's who he is. And this prophecy is found in Isaiah 9, verse 6, and we sang about it. It says, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Prince of Peace. In the Hebrew language, the Prince of Peace is just two words. It's Sar Shalom. Sar Shalom, and Sar, means the one in charge, the Lord, the chief, the general, right? The Romans took that word, Tsar, and they changed it to Tsar, C-Z-A-R, you know, and then they eventually changed it to Caesar, right? The one in charge, the Lord, the chief, the general. The word Shalom, we all recognize, is the Jewish word for peace, but it goes even deeper than that. It means rest, tranquility, wholeness, completeness, contentment. And what Isaiah is saying is that this Jesus will be the captain, the Lord of rest, the one in charge of contentment. He will be the Lord of peace. And so we need to understand and begin to grab a hold of that Jesus is peace. It's who he is. He's peace. Jesus is peace, and peace is Jesus. So I thought about this, you know, to have this message about peace, Really, it's just a message about Jesus. Because if you have him, you have it. You have the Prince of Peace. Again, Jesus says in John 14, 27, peace I leave with you. My peace, he says, I give you. I do not give you as the world gives, so do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Romans 5, 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, you know, when we become a believer, when we receive God as our Lord and Savior, when we receive that amazing grace and mercy and by faith say yes to him, we're justified. It's just as if we had never sinned before. So he says, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Psalms 4, 8 says, I will lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. You see, peace cannot be found anywhere except through Jesus. Psalms 29:11 says, the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. So let's just talk about how do we experience the Prince of Peace in our lives? What does that really look like? And of course, first you have to know him as your Lord and Savior. Ephesians 2:13 says this, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Jesus Christ, through what Jesus did on the cross for us. And he says, for Christ himself is our peace. That's where it begins. You come into a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He himself then is our peace. It's impossible. It's impossible for you to have peace without connecting powerfully, authentically, genuinely in a relationship with Jesus. He is our peace. And we talked about this a little bit in the Peacemaker message, but you try to figure out how to define peace. Some people say, well, Monty, it's just an emotion, it's a feeling. No, it's not just an emotion or a feeling. It's not even what I said in that message. It's not just the absence of conflict. It's not just the absence of war, right? It's actually this. It's not just the absence of something. It's the presence of something. And actually, I should say it's the presence of someone. Presence of someone. And so if you want it, it's not necessarily about getting rid of stuff as much, right? But it's more about taking on something. Having more of Jesus in your life. And that's really my goal. That you would know the Sar Shalom. That you would really know in an intimate way the Prince of Peace. Because if you do, peace becomes this byproduct of it. So it's not so much about pursuing peace as it is about pursuing Jesus. About pursuing Jesus. I mean, listen, if there is a storm going on around you, and Jesus is in your boat, you're going to be okay. Because he is the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Peace. So let me just share with you three things that maybe can help us this morning experience the Prince of Peace, experience Jesus. Because listen, you can't just know him. You can't really even just call on him. I mean, those things are great and very important, but to experience this Prince of Peace, this peace that passes all understanding, you have to make him Lord. You have to make Jesus Lord. I think a lot of us call him Lord. We even sing about him as Lord, but we don't really have him as Lord. Does that make sense? Let me see if I can explain it this way. I think lordship means to live under the canopy of the Lordship of Christ. When I was growing up, we had a lake house on Lake Louisa, and it was just covered. The banks were just covered by these huge oak trees and cypress trees along the shore banks and in the coves. And every once in a while, when we were fishing on a summer afternoon, and we would see a squall coming across the lake or whatever, a little storm coming up, you know, my dad would just kind of get it. You know, he said, "Hey, let's go." We jump in the boat. And we kind of would move into a cove, this special cove that we have. It's kind of, as a little boy, I thought it was my, you know, God just created this for me. And we would move into this little cove under this canopy of trees. And here the storm would come, and it would, you know, I didn't think about this then, but, you know, probably wasn't the greatest thing to be under trees with lightning. But get the point here. Let me tell the story. As the storm would come across the lake, we would be under this canopy of trees, and we would never get wet. You know, it's just, there was this a peace there because of that canopy over us. You see, that's what it really means to make Jesus Lord. He must be Lord of all. We must come under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And I think most of us want Him to be our Savior, but we haven't surrendered to Him as our Lord. You know, the Lord of all. We kind of get selfish sometimes. We say, "Hey, Monty, I don't need a chief." Or Monty says, I don't need anyone telling me what to do. And we call Him Lord, but we live under our own desires, our own directions, our own decisions, our own power. And then we kind of expect God to bless us. And what we need to do is make Him Lord of all. Acts 10:36 says, "You know the message God sent to the people of Israel." And here it is, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ. And I think we want to stop right there, right? But it's just a comma. It's just a pause. Through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Lord of all. And you say, "Well, Monty, can I do anything I want to do and still have peace?" No. No. Anytime you live outside of or out from underneath the canopy of the lordship of Jesus Christ, there is no peace. I mean, just think about your kids, if you had kids. And, you know, when our kids were when our boys were young, right? And I think they knew this, they understood this, as long as they were in a favorable position with the old dad, right? As long as they were in a favorable position and they submitted and they loved me and they stayed under the canopy of the Davis family, we'll just ask what you want, and, you know, we will give you, make your joy complete, whatever. I mean, we wanted to bless our boys, right? You want to bless them, you know, in that moment. But, you know, especially if they were in line and they submitted and they respected Kim and I, it was our joy. But if they got all rebellious and disobedient, you know, in those moments, you're not thinking, "This is good. What can I buy them?" No, right? You're thinking, "Okay, what discipline am I going to use this time? How can I just bring them back under the covering of our family?" And all of us have experienced this. We've called Him Lord, and then we step out from underneath the lordship of Christ, and things just get all messed up. Right? It just gets all, you know, all messed up. There's nothing outside of the lordship of Christ that has ever brought you peace. Outside of the principles of God, the lordship of God equals no peace. No peace. You say, "Well, Monty, can't I just come back on Sundays and pray and expect His peace?" No. Not if you've stepped out from underneath the lordship of Jesus Christ. Not if you've stepped out from under the righteousness of Jesus. I think sometimes we think that righteousness is you becoming right. But you can't become right. God's Word says there's no one righteous, no, not one. But you But you can be covered by His righteousness. And when God sees you, He sees the righteousness of Jesus. And I love that picture. Isaiah 32 says, the fruit of righteousness, you know, the clothing of righteousness over you will be peace. The effect of that righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. And I love what he says. He says, my people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. You want to experience the Prince of Peace? Submit your marriage to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Submit your finances, your morals, your actions, your will. You submit your ways to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and the effect will be quietness and confidence forever. And you will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, and in undisturbed places of rest. Listen, I don't mean life will be perfect, but there will be peace. There will be peace, which kind of brings me to the second truth, and it's this. Not only do you need to make Him Lord, but you need to bring Him into every situation. No peace in your marriage, you need to bring Jesus into your marriage. No peace in your finances, you need to bring Jesus into your finances. No peace in your family, bring Jesus. No peace in your job, you bring Jesus into your job. And I've shared this with you before. I think what we do sometimes is we like to compartmentalize our lives, right? We have our spiritual life, and then we have the other part of our life, right? And hopefully you learned in the Jesus life that there's just one life. You know, my dad kind of struggled with that. He had his church life, his faith walk, and then he had business. And he was always wanting to kind of separate those two. And when his crazy son bounced into the business, you know, he felt like, you know, no, I was bringing Jesus into that, right? And so I would say, Dad, you know, you can't, you know, where's Jesus, right? And we would have a Christmas party, and we would never say nothing. We wouldn't say anything about Jesus. And I'm going, Dad, it's a Christmas party. And so we began to share the Christmas story with our employees every Christmas at that party. You see, you can't separate the two. It's like you want to put on your spiritual clothes and then step into the world and put on, you know, its clothes, its actions, its belief. And my goal here is not just to have cool services on Sunday, but it's more than that. Our goal has really been to raise up a generation of believers that live and talk and act the same way on Monday as they do on Sunday. That we become a people that bring Jesus into every part of our lives, our schools, our workplace, on the sports field. Listen, there aren't two lives, the spiritual life and the normal life. There's only one life. It's the Jesus life. And that's where you experience peace. 2 Thessalonians says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. One of the greatest examples of this for me was Kim's dad. Kim's dad, I never saw Kim's dad have a bad day. Almost a bad day the day I came over and asked him if I could marry he called her his princess, if I could marry his daughter, and that was almost a bad day for him, but he fought through it. and eventually said yes. And I'm serious about that. I mean, it kind of shook him for a moment. Like, I've just never seen him have a bad day. He broke his ankle one time, just shattered it. And he just made him something to tie his leg around the back of him and put a little peg on his knee and just kept working. It was like, you know, Papa, we need to. He just never, and finally I began to understand really what I think, you know, after looking back on it now, what I really believe the reason was that he had that kind of attitude, the reason that he really never had a bad day or let anybody know that he had it, was because he brought Jesus into every situation, every relationship, every problem, every adventure, every celebration. He would bring Jesus into that situation. And I think that's why Philippians 4 is Kim's favorite verse. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And he says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, Paul said, put it into practice. Put it into practice. Put it into practice. I mean, you'll put bringing Jesus into every situation of your life. Keep putting it into practice. And what is the result? The God of peace will be with you. Bring Jesus out of just the Sunday experience and into the rest of your life, even in the darkest days. And you will experience peace, the Prince of Peace. Which leads me to the last point. Not only do you need to make him Lord, not only do you need to bring him into every situation, but you need to keep him on your mind. Keep Jesus on your mind. Heard this the other day. There are 31,303 verses in the Bible. 31,303 verses in the Bible. So that means there's 1,551, right, verses, and then there's a verse, and then there's 1,551 more verses, right? And the middle verse, right there in the center of the Bible, is this verse right here, Isaiah 26:3. And it says, you will keep him in perfect, and I love this. It's Isaiah talking to God. He says, you, capital Y, will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Because he trusts in you. Right there in the middle. The center of his word, of his promises. God, you will keep your people in perfect peace, those whose mind is stayed on you, oh God, because God, they're going to trust you no matter the storms that are going on around them. They're going to trust in you. Romans 15:13, I shared last week at the end of the message. Let me just share it one more time. It says, may the God of hope, it's really got all the gifts of God in it. May the God of hope fill you with all joy, which we'll talk about next week, and peace. How? As you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So that was kind of just the simple message this morning. But I so want you guys to receive his truth. I so want you to receive his peace. And maybe you're here this morning and you're going, you know, where in the world is the peace? And maybe for you what you need to do is today, maybe you need to make him the Lord of all. Maybe you know him as Savior, but you've never surrendered to him as Lord. Not in just one area of your life, but in every area. Maybe for you this morning is you need to bring him into everything and just give him your mind. And if you will begin to do that, you'll not only get to know him in an intimate and personal way as the Prince of Peace, but you will begin to experience his peace in your life. So you receive his gift this morning. Pray with me, please. I just want us to be still and allow ourselves, whether you're here or whether you're at your home or maybe you're even walking or driving when you're listening to this message, I just want us to be still right now. And in the quietness of where you are, would you just allow God to speak to you and receive his truth and his gift of peace this morning. If you're here this morning, if you're online listening this morning and you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life, would you just kind of lift your hand and say, yeah. That's what I want to do, Monty. That's what God is calling me to do. Just, you know, lift your hand and begin to pray and ask Jesus to come in and be your Lord. Just say, Jesus, take my life every day and in every way. Come in and live in my life and begin to change me, to transform me. And then have the courage enough to say, and here's what I will do. I will make you the Lord of my life. And I will serve you. And I will trust you. And I will know you as I give you my life. God, I pray for every one of us that prayed that prayer and the change, Father, that you're doing right now on the inside of each one of us. And God, I pray for every difficult situation that's going on in people's lives right now. For cancer, for financial difficulty, for relational turmoil, for sickness, for depression, for anxiety. Lord, whatever it is, would you help us to take this disturbed world that we live in and just kind of step under your covering today. You step under the lordship of Jesus. Jesus, be our Lord. Help us to bring you into every situation, every day of our week, and everything that we do, that Jesus, we would bring you with us. And Lord, we're just going to, this Christmas season, we're just going to think about you. We're going to talk about you. We're going to sing about you. We're going to mention your name throughout our day. And Lord, as we do, I pray that you will keep us in perfect peace. Because you are our peace. In the name of Jesus, we pray.